Greenock is a type of the red tree. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. And that's like, it was back then, eh? And then Enoch was with God, and then he was not. And that's the way it's supposed to be with us. We're walking with God. We're not doing our own thing. And then one day we'll just not be here anymore. Just that simple. Still backed up with scripture, eh? It's these, we shall not all sleep, like when the Bible talks about sleep, but when a Christian dies, he doesn't die, he just goes to sleep. And we shall not all die, but we shall be changed. Just like Enoch, he was changed. There he was. The next moment he found him without walking down the land, and next second he was walking in glory. To you and I, it's such a simple program. It can't be no other way. You know, walk with God, and he was not kind of a type what the rapture's like. Not everybody that claims to be a Christian is going on a rapture. It's just those that are ready, those that are walking with God. Not those that... A person goes to church, but that don't mean he's walking with God, you know? Mm-hmm. It's that personal thing with the Lord, walking with the Lord. Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just let him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountains, walk through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said I'll never forsake is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said I'll never forsake you is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. There's a brighter day coming, soon our heartaches will be gone. Sorrow won't be a memory in the light of heaven's own. Shade is all around us, darkness seems to hide our way. Don't despair, the night is ending, the clearest sky will green today. There's a brighter day coming, soon our hearts will be gone. Sorrow won't be a memory in the light of heaven's own. Even in the blackest midnight, I have a lamp to light my way. For the light of God's light shining in my heart turns
the darkness in today. There's a brighter day coming. Soon our heartache will be gone. Sorrow won't be a memory in the light of heaven's dawn. Even in the blackest midnight, I have a lamp to guide my way. For the light of God's heart shining in my heart turns the darkness into day. There's a brighter day coming. Soon our heartache will be gone. Sorrow won't be a memory in the light of heaven's dawn. There's a brighter day coming. Soon our heartaches will be gone. Sorrow won't be a memory in the light of heaven's dawn. In the light of heaven's dawn. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angel beckoned me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
We have to see everything through the eyes of the Scripture. In this world of confusion, we've got to gauge our life with the Scriptures. Otherwise, you'll be dragged into that spirit of the age, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So that's all we go by. We go by the Scripture. Like we were saying yesterday, there's so many ideas and opinions, and people are convinced they're right. They can almost convince me, mm-hmm, that they're right. But then we got to go back to the Scripture. Like David, from time to time, he said, I would have barely made it. And when I saw the way things are going, but he said, I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I saw a different picture. That's what you and I do. We go to the Scriptures, and we find out it's not the way it is. It's not the way it appears to be.
Mm-hmm.
People are deceived into thinking that there's a revival coming. People are deceived into thinking that that Hutterite commune lifestyle is the way to heaven. That's not true, because we go to the Scripture. We found out what the way is to heaven. Yikid and Shmal and Laban, see?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very narrow road. The road is straight. And the gate is straight, the narrowest way that leads to life. We don't have much in this world that we're attached to.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we've got to spend all our life unattaching ourselves to the things of this world. But that's what I've been saying. You have to use the Scriptures here to make it through the jungle.
Mm-hmm. No. That's what Jesus did. And you will read, like, Isaiah
It says in Isaiah 53, "Who had believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." See, that's what Jesus used, the word of God. Yeah. He read Isaiah, and he knew that he was going to be that lamb that's going to be led to the slaughter.
Amen.
And that's all we're using when we can say we are in a revival, and this is coming, but the scripture does not point to that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember I was going over my life, and where the Lord got me from. I didn't have no... I left the colony when I was 20, 21, and the Lord came to me. The Lord doesn't come to you. There is no future.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord came to me, and 2 o'clock in the morning, came to me. First time he came to me, "Sam, you're going back to Riverside." That's exactly what he said. I heard him. Not a voice. I was up in Edmonton with the racehorses at that time. I was only about 20, 21. And I had purpose. I'm never going back to no colony, because I didn't want nothing to do with no colony. Because I saw it as I got to know I didn't want that Hutterite God. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and I told the Lord, I ain't going back. The only way I'm going back to Riverside is in a coffin. And then three is God's number, eh? And then 3 days later, exactly, 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock at night, really, came again. "Sam, you're going back to Riverside." And I say, "I ain't going back." And then third time, it come again the third time. But the third time, he said, "You're going back or else." I tell you, when the Lord said "or else," you better know that "or else" means something. And all of a sudden, I lost my job. All of a sudden, the whole world kept caving in. I got a toothache, and I couldn't get my tooth pulled. And when the Lord says "or else," you do not want to hear that "or else," because I knew my goose was cooked. I got to do it the way he says it, or I'm done. And I started to pray. I said, "Lord, just give me grace to go back there." That was in, I think, about the month of April. And October, ended up back in the colony. And then, you know, pretty well in my life, I said it over and over again. And then a few months later, the Lord came by and saved me. You know, of course, he convicted me of sin and of righteousness and all these things. But sometime in the spring of the year, he came by my way and he saved me. And he gave me eternal life. Then, right away, he gave me my commission, saying, I've set you as a watchman over the house of Israel. I knew exactly what he meant. Saying, I've set you as a watchman over that Hutterite nation. That's just been my job. It's been my lot in life. And I didn't know of no other life. And I just settled in. I just became a Hutterite, you know. And then one day we had a man come to our house at the Joe Mandel from Forest River Colony. And like I say, I didn't care about no other life because I know the Lord sent me there and that's all I know. So, well, somehow I'll make it true. But that man came to our house and he knew my dad pretty good. And he gave his testimony. He'd been dead for, I think, somewhere around 13 minutes or something, or maybe even longer, until the ambulance came and then they put that machine on and he came back to life again. His heart started pumping again. But he was dead, and then what happened when he was dead, like I told you time and time again, he had an out-of-the-body experience, and he went and he recovered. He saw himself trying to get into heaven, and he thought for sure, living in that commune, he's automatically got a ticket to glory, like thousands and thousands of Hutterites all across North America. They are of the same opinion. They think they're going to heaven when they die. But see, this man, he came back and he told us, that's not the way you think of it. As he wanted to get into heaven, and they asked, why would we let you in here? Well, I was the colony, and did everything for the colony. Well, what's that? That has no rating. And what did you do for Jesus? And that he came, I was about, I was back in the day, 1975, he came to our home. So then and then what happened to me then, I had second thoughts about that Hutter, I think, because what's the point in working here? I know the Lord sent me there, but what's the point in doing what I'm doing when at the end of the day, I got no salvation, you know? There's no salvation and no Hutter I call it. And these people are so deceived and to thinking when they die to go to heaven, but here comes a man from the dead, back from the dead, and tells us it's not so. And then, I keep going back to these things, and that's why I know that you and I, we're on the right track. We done put our weight in that column because there is no salvation inside that column. They try to tell you it's the ark. You got to be in the column because it's type of the ark that Noah was in. No, it's that Satan is their head on it. The devil runs the show. Behind it is the spirit of Satan. And I just can't convince people that that's exactly so. But I go back to that man that came to our home. And then he told us that's not the way to heaven. And then he spent the rest of his life, I think he still lived for 5 years after that. And he, wherever he went, he told people about this Hutterite deception that they're living under. But apparently, I was the only person that heard of it because I did something about it. And that gnawed on me, my conscience, every day from 1975 till about 1990. Then finally, one day, the Lord got me to speak up against that corruption, against that, to these preachers that think that the other right thing is it. And here, I told them it's not. And then, of course, at the end of the day, I was terminated. But that's a good thing. When I look back over my life, the best thing they could have done was terminate me because it set me on a course. And because that man said to my dad, John, there's something out there. I know it's not in the colony, but there's something out there. I know there is. And we need to go and search. We need to go and search it out. And he wanted, like I'm telling you over and over again, he wanted four people to go with him, like three, including him, is four, to look for that something. What? He didn't know what it was. He was clueless. He said, if God sees how serious we are, that we're willing to walk away from everything, he'll show us. Well, apparently, from 1975, till about 1991, when I looked out my window, I said, Lord, I was already terminated, but I was still and I called him. I said, Lord, there's got to be something somewhere. I'm going to get in my car. I know I've said it before, and I'm just going to drive until I drive no longer. And he gave me a vision, and he told me to go to Vancouver. That's been my life, and I went out to Vancouver, and I found the ministry of Brother Brenham. That's what that man wanted to find. But see, that's been my life. I'm going over it because I want to walk you right through my life to where you and I are today. And then that's why, as I say, you can't listen to what people's opinion is. You've got to go to the scripture. And then once I heard that God sent a prophet, I found it right there in Malachi 4. Behold, I send you Elisha the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. There's got to come that Elijah prophet. And I said it over and over again. I didn't understand the Bible until I came to the ministry of Brother Brenham. And then the whole Bible opened up. The book of Revelation, I've read it hundreds of times, but I didn't understand it. I didn't know what I was reading. But when I read what that man said about the book of Revelation, the seals, the church ages, all this began to open up right before my very eyes. And I began to see a brand new Bible, brand new scripture. I could tell you exactly from Genesis to Revelation how God has moved throughout time. And here, I got it through the ministry of Brother Brenham, and then eventually the Lord led me to the ministry of Brother Jackson, and here we are doing exactly what the Lord wanted me to do when he told me up there in Edmund Sam, you're going back to Riverside. And then he gave me my commission. I have set you as a watchman. And what just because he sets you as a watchman, that don't mean is I was going to be hunky-dory. You're just telling these other right people exactly where it's at. We got the answer. We got that journey to that glorious rapture, and if they listen to it, all they got to do is believe us, and they'll be in that number somehow.
Mm-hmm. Like I was thinking yesterday, there are so many cults out there and systems of religion, and when you read in the Bible where it says in John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if every cult thinks they're it, Hutterites think they're the ark. The Roman Catholics, they say there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church. They're the Holy See. Now, all these cults, they think the same way. But that's contrary to what the Bible says here. It says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I was talking to someone the other day, and she asked me why I left the colony. And I said to her, because I saw no future for me on there. The Lord saved me. Jesus came by my way and he saved me. And he led me off that system of religion. He called me out of that system of religion to in a life to follow him. And then he led me to the to Brother Brenham. That's where he led me. Like, I know he saved me on the colony. And then he gave me that scripture about Malachi. In Malachi, about God sending the spirit of Elijah again before the coming and the dreadful day of the Lord. Now, we know there's the coming and the dreadful day of the Lord. We know the day of the Lord is coming. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a 30-day period where he's going to pour out his wrath on wicked mankind. Mm-hmm. And that's, you need Jesus. Mm-hmm. You need a truth for your day in order to escape what is coming. Yeah. Because the Israelites, when you will go through the blessings and cursings of the Israelites, God did not spare the natural seed. Mm-hmm. Like, he did not spare Israel. If you go through their history of all that they have had to go through, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, the Grecians and the Romans, they've always been afflicted. And to this day, they've been afflicted. Mm-hmm. And do people think the Gentiles are going to get a safe passage?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're not. It's going to be the same thing. If God did not spare the natural branch, how do you think he's going to treat that grafted in branch that the Gentiles are, just grafted into that that tree that was part of Israel?
We were watching a movie, yes, about the Holocaust, and See, you and I, we're practically the only people that know why that Holocaust camp, because the Jews, back in the 1900s, at the turn of the century, the God in heaven sent out these rabbis to take back the children of Israel, the Jewish race, to go back to the homeland and prepare the homeland for the coming of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's what their mission was in the 1900s. And he went to fishers. I think they went around for about 15, 20 years to beg and plead with the Jewish race to go back to the homeland.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this Jeremiah said. He sent out the fishers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they refused them and they mocked them and they made fun of them. Just exactly what they're doing to you and me. We're trying to do the same thing. We're like these fishers. We're trying to warn the people what's coming. That's what these fishers said. These rabbis, they begged and pleaded, and right up to much the day when Hitler took over. But they, like I say, they made fun of them. They mocked them. They booed them. And no, we're not going to leave our homes and our luxuries and our businesses and go over to that desert. Well, then the Bible says he'll send in the hunters. Mm-hmm. And we watched that video, that movie yesterday about what happened in that Holocaust. And your heart breaks out for these people. These people that rejected the fishers, what their children had to go through in that Holocaust. Mm-hmm. How they were butchered and slaughtered. 6 million Jews got butchered and slaughtered through these torture chambers and Auschwitz and all these places. It was real. It was reality. Simply because they rejected the fishers.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the sad thing. I've been beating the drum for 30 years, telling them about that man coming back from the dead,
mm-hmm.
telling them that he came back and he told them that Hutterite way of life is not going to get you to glory. And we've been beating the drums for 30 years. But the more we beat, the more they mock, you know,
mm-hmm.
just exactly what they did to the Jews, what the Jews did to these rabbis that went out and worked. It's the same thing. I don't like to speak that plain, but I have to, because otherwise you cannot penetrate people. This is here a warning. We're sending out a message just like these rabbis. If you get back to Israel, God will protect you. And here's the same thing. If you believe what we're trying to tell you here, you will go in that rapture, and you won't have to go through this hell that's coming. There's a Holocaust coming. There's another judgment coming on planet Earth. And there's the Lord and that tribulation talks about. It's all right in front of us here. It could break open any time,
mm-hmm.
because everything is right. Like it says back in the days of Israel, the iniquity of the Amorites had not been fulfilled. But that iniquity, that cup of iniquity, is pretty much full and overflowing, really.
That's right, because when you will look at the time frame of everything, like when you come to the grace age, that grace age period ran out. So that lets you know there is judgment coming.
Amen.
Because it's just the cycle of things.
When they tell you that at midnight there was a cry, you know, people don't even know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Bible. Behold, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. That midnight shout, that happened in 1963. Behold, the Lord himself will descend in 1963 with a shout. He sent that. That's when these seven angels came down. I met Brother Brent, the prophet of the age. We say here, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then we go over and say, brother, almost looks like we're saying, Brother Brenham is the way, the truth, and the life. No, it's just a chapter. It's just a channel that God used.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has to use people. He used the Apostle Paul. He used these patriarchs. He used Irenaeus. He used all these people he used throughout the grace age. And here it is in time of Laodicea. Yeah, he happened to use Brother Brenham. Bring forth that shout in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
So we know exactly, we've been over it and over it again. But see, people don't hear us. You've got to keep repeating it, that the 1963 was the middle of Laodicea,
mm-hmm.
like midnight. See, back then in Bible time, the night starts at 6 o'clock in the evening, then at 12 o'clock midnight, that's the middle of the night. And then 6 o'clock in the morning, That's when the day sets in.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to know these things to know exactly what that midnight is. Midnight is the middle of Leah Zia. And then the 1906 was the beginning. We said it over and over and over again. We've got to know the beginning, and you know the middle, you know the end of it. And the end of it was exactly 2021. And then once 2021 comes, bingo, that's the end of the Grace Age. That's the end of Leah Zia. Now, it goes into a seven-year period where God once again goes back to the Jews. Like 69 weeks culminated right when Jesus was crucified and it was put on hold. Now that seven years for it left for the Jews, it continued in 2021. Mm-hmm. And now we got 7 years in 2021. We're just about the end of it. We're in the last part of it. And judgment is coming on the world. Right here it is. End time. This tribulation is going to kick in here anytime. I don't know when, because all that is when it's going to hit this momentum. You know, it started then October the 15th, 2021, but it hasn't reached its peak yet, if you know what I'm trying to say. It is a beginning point, and then there's a peak, and then there's the end of it. And it ends exactly 7 years from 2021, and then end comes the day of the Lord. It's going to be a horrible day where the planet will rock to and fro like a drunk man. That's the shaking of all things. And it's right in front of us here. And all we're doing, we're warning people how to get out of it. Just like these fishers, just like these rabbis went and begged with these Jews to get back to the homeland. God will protect you. And there was not one Jew that was back in Israel that got touched from that Holocaust. They were a safe haven back there. Sure, they had to fight their way with the Arabs and all that, but at least they were where God wanted them to be. And they didn't have to go through that hell, through that Holocaust. Their children didn't have to go through their Holocaust. It's just children that suffered more than they did. And all because of their parents' fault. Mm-hmm. I seen that movie yesterday. Your heart goes out to what their children had to go through. And here it's going to be the same thing. That's why we're warning. That's why we're taking everything that you ever worked for. All our assets, all our effort, all our time goes into trying to warn people. That falls on deaf ears. Might as well talk to a brick wall or something. You get probably more results talking to a brick wall than you do with people.
Well, like you were saying that it looks like we're talking about, we say Jesus is the way, and then we're talking about Brother Brenham. But that's all scriptural. When you will look at John, the spirit of Elijah, it says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. See, the spirit of Elijah was on John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And he was calling those. So he's calling the hearts of the fathers to the children.
See, those old Jewish zealots and all
they were the
fathers, and the children, they're following what John the Baptist said. He was that spirit of Elijah, and they're going down to the river, and they're getting baptized, they're repenting, and all that. These were the children, but the fathers, they came down to spy it out, and when Jesus saw them coming, or when John saw them coming, he called them a brood of vipers.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's that spirit of Elijah that was on John the Baptist back at that hour. Mm-hmm. But then it says, and the hearts of the children back to the fathers, back to the apostolic fathers like Peter, James, and John. These are now the fathers of faith, the fathers of back then. So what you're doing now in this generation, the ministry of Brother Ben, to turn us back to the fathers, to back to the early church. That's what you and I are about. We're living back and doing our level best to live like the early church did. That's what God's going to do. He said the first church will be, the last church will be just like the first one was. And that's what we live by.
So that was the spirit of Elijah was on John the Baptist, and that he foreran Jesus' first coming. Mm-hmm. When Jesus came down to the river of Jordan and was baptized, he foreran the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then in this end time, as it says in Malachi, there's the spirit of Elijah is going to rest once again on a man here that's going to forerun the Lord Jesus Christ's second coming. And that's why it was that vessel, William Marion Branham, that did that. And it continued when he went off the scene, the voice of that angel continued to speak through Brother Jackson.
Yeah.
And that's how the vessels that God used, like Jesus, when Jesus was resurrected, he was no longer here on earth, but he used vessels, just like it says that Paul was a chosen vessel to bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ
to the Gentiles.
And that's how all along the God of heaven had a vessel here on earth, a Gentile, because you're dealing with Gentile here, not with the Jews. You're dealing with the Gentiles. And he had a vessel on earth that would help people, steer them in the right direction, and give them the righteousness for their day, the mm-hmm. truth for their day and hour. And that's what Brother Branham and Brother Jackson did. And they're part of that way, the truth, yeah, and the life.
Yeah.
That's because that's what they were pointing us back to,
mm-hmm.
the way, the truth, and the life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all these things were lost in the dark ages, and they were bringing things back mm-hmm. to its originality.
Yeah, it's for you and I.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're watching it. Now. That's why we're telling people the truth. The things we're saying is absolutely the truth. That other thing is not real, because that man came back from the dead. The Lord allowed him to come back and give his testimony. He went around to call it wherever he could for 5 years to give his testimony, what's going on. But like I say, apparently I'm the only one that heard it, because I went down to Forest River College to talk to his boys. They didn't want me to talk about it. I was shocked that they won't even talk about it, because I found out what your dad was looking for. I looked out my window one day. I said, "Lord, there's got to be something somewhere." And he gave me a vision of that building and the parking lot. And 2-3 months later, I ended up walking right into that parking lot that I saw when I left my home at home. And I said, "Lord, there's got to be something somewhere." And the things were said, they're 100% accurate. And the Lord just honed us out to do this very thing. And then, like I say, he brings you on board. I could never do this by myself. He brings you on board, and now we're on that journey together.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, I could never do it by myself. And the Lord knows exactly what he's doing, because when he told me, "You need to pick up Lorraine, and you need to go trucking with her, and you guys need to hang out together, because I got to work for you to do now. What you've done up till now, Sam, is all good and well, but from here on, you can't do nothing without Lorraine." And here we are, doing this very thing that the Lord created us before the foundation of the world. Back in that great council, you got to go back to Ephesians 1, that God mapped everything out right to the T, and he predestinated certain people to do a certain job. He back in that great council, he made sure that Ezekiel is in that picture. And when Ezekiel came on the scene, came up to the age of a certain age, he called on Ezekiel, and he just simply told him.
Mm-hmm.
And he told Jeremiah, "While you were still in your mother's womb, I've called you." Because he did it way back before the foundation of the world. Before there was one planet, before there was one age, God had that old blueprint designed. It just took you and I a lifetime to find our place in Christ. That's always been my prayer. Lord, help me find my place in Christ, and help me to be faithful to what you've called me to be. That's all we're doing here. We don't care what people say, do, or think about us. We're just doing what the Lord honed us out to do.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying our level best to be faithful. People believe it or not, it doesn't matter to us.
Mm-hmm.
It'll happen exactly what they did to the rabbis. And that time will come, and then he'll send in the hundreds, and judgment will come on this world. Tribulation. the day of the Lord, all these things. And, you know, when you look at, think about what had happened to these children during that Holocaust, and it's coming to the same thing. You can look at your children. We're doing that because of our children. Mm-hmm. We're doing that because we care about people. If we didn't care, we would just go somewhere and maybe take a 10-year vacation or something. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we're about. Mm-hmm. We're about to warn people, to tell people what they do with it. That's completely going to be on their neck, not on ours, as mm-hmm. we're doing. Like I say, we're doing everything we can to warn people. And that's our job. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it gladly. We don't mind. Mm-hmm. The Lord, with it all, gives you peace, joy, and people are full of glory, because we're about His business. He pays us well. He pays us with peace and joy unspeakable. He pays us with finances. He pays us with protection. Everything that you can think about, He's got us in that mm-hmm. package, simply because we're doing what He wants us to do. Mm-hmm. Not what we want to do. Just why we say, Lord, use us for Your glory, because mm-hmm. We don't have the brains to figure this whole thing out. That's why we go back to the Scripture uh-huh. to find our way through this world of confusion that we're in.
And you can find it all in the Scripture. Like the Scripture that I wanted earlier is Luke 1:17, and He will go as forerunner before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for Him. And that was that spirit of Elijah doing its job there with John the Baptist, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And that's what He did in these last days. The same spirit of Elijah rested on the ministry of William Branham to turn us back to the faith of the early church there.
Exactly. And that's right.
And you can find it in the Scripture. He was that vessel that spirit of Elijah rested on. It had to be a Gentile vessel here on earth that God would use through and bear the name of Jesus Christ, because that's what He was doing. They were the Son of Man. Jesus Christ was being revealed through the ministry of Brother Brennan, Brother Jackson. And we continue to speak on these things because it's the truth. And the truth will always bear witness.
Yeah, with the Scripture.
Mm-hmm. It will never lead you astray. Like if people do not have that, that channel that God has worked in, that's why they will say there's a revival coming. They have all kinds of things and sayings because they were not led by that mm-hmm. spirit of Elijah to guide us back to the faith of the early church, so that Amen. We can know the day and hour we're living in and the turn of events of how God is going to work mm-hmm. this all out.
It's a miracle that I happened to be, let's say, mm-hmm. I went on a list of the Lord. I was up in Edmonton, and I said, the Lord, go fly a kite. But I surrendered, and I gave myself over, and eventually ended up in the colony. And then what God was looking at, one day there's going to be a man come to our home, and he's going to tell us about that, that out of the body experience mm-hmm. he had. And not just a miracle, it just happened to be right there. And that man has happened to come to our house that evening, and he just happened to give his testimony. And I just happened to be sitting right in that room. Mm-hmm. And my ears happened to pick it up what he said. Mm-hmm. That's not the way to have it. We're being deceived. We're being deluded. Something out there, John, that's real. And we just got to go out and find it. Mm-hmm. Well, I found it. I found that thing that he yearned and longed for. But see, when you look back and you analyze everything, and you take it to the microscope of Scripture, and you take it back to the Lord, you can see what He said there. Nobody heard it, mm-hmm. but I heard it. It was for my ears. Mm-hmm. Like He talked to thousands and thousands of people in His 5 years where He went around everywhere to give His testimony. But I'm the only one that heard it, and what what the rest heard doesn't really matter as long as I heard it. Mm-hmm. And they put me on that course, and I found that answer because, as I said, Son of Man, he told Ezekiel, I have set you as a watchman. Sam, you're a watchman, whether you like it or not. And if you don't do it, you're going to have to suffer the consequences. Mm-hmm. Wow. Why would I refuse, you know? Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we're doing here. We're telling these other people that that way is not the way to heaven. The Satanist era, it's a cult controlled by Satan and by the Vatican. They got the Vatican baptism, and I've been beating the drums for 30 years trying to tell them the truth. But the more you beat, the more we'll tell. Like Jeremiah said, Yemir manak shleget, Yemir dazadvai. The more you speak, the more they put the brakes on. They're going to not, we're not going to listen to you. Well, and suffer the consequences, mm-hmm. like that Mike from Sommerfeld. And that boss there, not Sommerfeld, he thought he's doing a great thing, sending us the books back. Couple of months later, he died. What good is it now? Well, he'd be better off if he would just allow the Lord to speak to him. Because mm-hmm. it's not us. It's the Lord trying to get his attention. Mm-hmm. But what does he do? He thinks it's doing God a service, sending the books back, throwing the books out. And we're just trying to wake him up. And what they do with it, that's your business. What happened to all these people at Jeremiah War? Go back and read it. I just read it the other day. He got butchered and slaughtered right in the middle of the street there. And Jeremiah, who was a free man, the king told him, Jeremiah, you can do exactly what you want. You can go in and out, do what you want. And it's gonna come here the same way too. Mm-hmm. People that we warned and they rejected it, well, there's going to be suffering the consequences. They die of cancer and they all these plagues that the Bible talks about is coming on them. Mm-hmm. And nothing we can do. We just told to warn them and to speak, and he told Jeremiah, don't be worried when they come against mm-hmm. you, because they can only beat, you know, they can only make a lot of noise, but they got a wall around you. You just go out and say exactly what I put in your heart, and I'll protect you. They'll come close, they'll try to destroy you, but they won't be able to touch you. The same with Ezekiel. As long as Ezekiel, I made your forehead twice as strong as theirs. Because yeah, I know what you're going to be up against. But don't worry about it, because I'm going to take care of you. And he's doing the same thing with us. He's taking care of us. No matter how much they burn and try to get rid of us, that doesn't matter to us. That's all part of the program. And we just got to get used to it. Mm-hmm. Just the way it is. But that's what I saw. You know, we got to use the Word of God to guide us through the jungle. We can't listen to what people's opinions are. We're just fortunate enough and blessed enough that I heard that man come to our house, tell us that other thing, it's not of God. It's not the way to heaven. And they're so deceived, thinking when they die to go to heaven. They don't even have a blueprint about the millennium or about the day of the Lord and all that stuff that's coming just up the road here. Nobody will tell them. Nobody will warn them. We're the only two people that will warn them. But what they do with it, that's their business. Mm-hmm. Father, I give you thanks for another day of life and another opportunity, Lord, to expound on your word and things you've shown us throughout life, the way you've dealt with us and the way you let it guide us. We just pray, Lord, you help us to be faithful to what you've called us to be, Lord. Use us for your honor, for your glory. Do with us as you see fit, Lord. Most of all, I pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.